Bob was only 13 years old when his father left the family. Being the second oldest of seven children, Bob felt he had become the man of the home. Weeks later, he was also devastated when his basketball coach tried to molest him. The pain continued a year later when his father eventually started a second family, and when his family, Bob's family, had moved to Florida. Now, he didn't realize it at the time, but the key word that described his experience was betrayal. Who can I trust? And he didn't realize it, but his trust in God at that time was wounded. But he made it through high school. He got married to a wonderful woman. They had two children. He went on to become a very successful doctor, professor, and therapist. When his wife returned to work, the void and restlessness in his heart started to appear. He goes to a Bible study, and he hears the call of Jesus to give his life to him, but he's afraid of getting hurt again. He also realized he's afraid of giving his heart to his wife, and then he goes to therapy, and that reveals he's projecting his wounds onto her. And then he realized that she and he, neither of them are fulfilling each other's needs. But a breakthrough came when he goes for a retreat. He's really touched by the honest sharing, the vulnerability of the other men. And at the men's group that followed this retreat, he started seeing Jesus heal other men. And that was a relief for him because he always felt like he had to provide for other people. But now seeing Jesus heal other people, he felt some relief. He goes on another retreat, and during that retreat, he's still doubting God's goodness. But a friend helped him to realize Bob had read some occult books some years before, and the friend said to him, "You need to go to confession. You need to have that purified." And the next day after that confession, he lectured at Mass, meaning he did the readings at Mass, and he perceived the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist in a way he never had before. And his joy started to be restored. At 3 a.m., some friends woke him up, and they said, "Let's pray, let's sing." And they were so full of joy, Bob was so full of joy now, he said he was crying and laughing at the same time. And he hadn't cried since his parents were divorced. And now he understood why he was doubting God's goodness. He had projected his relationship with his own dad onto God the Father. And so the ideas that were going through his head were this: I can never please God. He's never there for me. He's a good father. That turns out to be bad. But now, after all these positive, beautiful experiences, he actually felt God's love. Not only did he know it, he felt it in his heart. There are two fundamental identities we can have. You can either live as a child of God or you can live as an orphan. Now, if you live as an orphan, you actually don't believe God's there to take care of you. And you will always try to earn that love. So people who live, their fundamental identity is as an orphan, they will always try to gain other people's love by their appearance, by their grades, or by their achievements. And you notice, whenever you try to earn someone else's love by these different things, whenever these things are threatened, let's say you don't look good on one day, which happens to a lot of us, or you get a B on whatever assignment or whatever class, or you fail, you'll start experiencing anxiety. You start getting really angry, and then you'll start feeling empty. The other identity, child of God, people who have a real a sense that they're a child of God, they really feel good. They have a profound sense of goodness. I know this one lady, she said to me, "I feel so loved." And another young man, he said, "I feel the Lord delighting in me." Now, I've told you before, personally, I feel very special. It's a gift. I've always felt so blessed by God. I've always felt like God rolled out the red carpet for me. I feel so loved. Now, all of you are loved too. It's just that I'm loved more by God. But I want all of you to, can you have that sense of how special you are? You should. I joke about that. I feel like I'm more special. But you should feel the same way. You should feel like you're the most special person in the world because you're so loved by God. Today's gospel, Jesus' baptism, it's about revealing Jesus to be God the Father's Son. So this is what the text says. When Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, Suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Now, when the heavens are opened, biblically, we mean that we know to be, that's a revelation. When the heavens open, that's when God is revealing something to us, a truth. So what is he revealing? That Jesus is his Son. Because up to that point in the gospel, Jesus hadn't done any public ministry. So no one knew that he was God the Father's Son. Everyone knew him to be the Son of Mary. Now God's revealing that to us. And that voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Let's try to understand that. Those words right there, it echoes what we heard in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, which says, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights." And we want to focus on that word, delight. God the Father delights in his Son. Why? Not because of anything Jesus has done. Jesus hasn't done any miracles yet. Why does God the Father delight in him? Just because Jesus is his Son. That's it. Just because of their relationship. And Jesus knows that. He feels very beloved. Now, I asked you a while ago, parents, why do you love your kids? Is it because they're talented? Because they're cute? And you say, no. Why do you love your kids? Because they're my kids. Does that mean that them being good and succeeding, that means nothing to you? No, those things are important, but that's not why you love them. You love them just because they're your kids. When we are young, according to Bob is now Dr. Bob Schutz, very famous author, very famous Catholic. Dr. Bob Schutz says, we perceive to be loved when we're very young, when we see our parents delight in us. And he says the key thing that happens is when you're young and you're a kid, you see your parents' face light up. They have this very big smile. And their eyes get big. And the way they speak, it's a very warm tone. So when that happens to us as a kid, we feel very loved. We feel affirmed in our goodness. Now, when Dr. Bob says this, okay, we perceive our parents' delight by their reaction to us, right away, can we just do a quick self-reflection? Do you remember, as a kid, seeing your parents delight in you? Do you remember seeing the opposite, when your parents did not delight in you? And we start reflecting, do you right now, do you take delight in your kids? Do you kind of beam? And what will change that delight? Will your delight in your kids, will it change when they misbehave? There is a Catholic counselor, he talks about the roots of perfectionism stemming from not perceiving our parents' delight. So what happens, this Catholic counselor says, is at a very young age, our parents sometimes show no delight in us. So we walk into the room, we're so happy to see our parents, and they're no longer super happy. And as a kid, we start realizing, what's wrong? The rock star is here. And they're thinking, they're not reacting anymore. And so this counselor says, subconsciously, we're thinking we're not loved anymore. We're not lovable. And so we want that back. We love it when people get excited to see us. And so what do? We start performing to start winning that love back. So subconsciously, people who are perfectionistic, they have to get good grades. Because we know from our history, our parents delighted in us more when we got better grades. We experience that. We want more of it. And when we get a B, it's terrible. It's like the end of the world. We notice people treat us better when they like us, so we have to get everyone to like us. And then when we succeed, we notice people give us more attention. It feels like love. So we keep on having to do this. So Catholics with perfectionism, they'll often say something like this, "I know God loves me, but not when I sin." They keep on thinking that. That's not Catholic. That's not the way God loves us. There are other times, if we don't get that delight from our parents, we'll start to feel depressed and we'll start to give up. In St. Mark's Gospel, Jesus meets a rich man, and the rich man asks him, "How can I inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And St. Mark's Gospel is the only one that says this, "And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him. Really powerful statement.